Before we get started, I want to tell you why I keep urging you to use KISS Insights. Haven't you noticed that one of the big ideas that keeps coming up in my interviews is the need to ask your customers and users what they want instead of imagining that you know? Now, when you add a survey to your website, isn't it true that hardly anyone fills out your survey, and people who do fill it out aren't necessarily your typical users? Well, what KISS Insights does is give you surveys that are so easy to fill out that your users will actually complete them. Here's a screenshot of how I use KISS Insights. You can use it for free right now. Just go to kissinsights.com. Next thing I want to show you is the phone number at the top of dnamail.com. When you have trouble with your email and it's costing your business both money and reputation, how frustrating is it? Well, who can you call at those moments? If you use DNA Mail, you'll have a phone number you can call 24/7. DNA Mail offers complete hosted exchange, free setup, free activation, free support, and if you and your company need Google Apps, they've got you covered there too. DNAMail.com. These aren't just sponsorships, these are tools you should use. Finally, I want you to know about Shopify.com. If you already have an online store and want to increase your sales, go to Shopify.com. If you have an idea for an online store, go to Shopify.com. With Shopify, they'll set up your store in minutes. You'll get professional themes to customize your store. You'll even get a mobile app to manage your store from anywhere. Check out Shopify.com. Here's the program. Hey everyone, it's Andrew Warner. I'm the founder of Mixergy.com, home of the ambitious upstart. I invited Isaac Saldana to Mixergy to find out how he did it. He launched SendGrid 8 months ago and now has over 6,000 users, over 1,000 direct paying customers, delivered according to TechCrunch, a bajillion emails, and tell me if this is true, Isaac, you have a profit already?
Yeah.
Wow. 8 months. That's how long it's been since you guys launched.
Yep.
What is SendGrid?
So at SendGrid, we believe that the best method of communication a company has with their customers is email. So we try to solve the problems around email. Currently, the biggest problem is email deliverability. So on average, 20% of all the emails sent by web applications either go missing or they get caught by spam filters. So SendGrid is a cloud-based service that delivers emails on behalf of companies to increase their email deliverability. We have a few other things and features on our product, but that's pretty much what we do.
Can you give me a use case? Maybe talk about Hootsuite. I had the founder of Hootsuite here on Mixergy. I use Hootsuite to send out tweets and message on Facebook. How does Hootsuite use SendGrid? That'll help me understand what the product is.
Right, so Hootsuite sends email notifications when an event happened on their site or their application. If you added a column for search for a specific string, they email everyone on the team about that addition. So Hootsuite uses SendGrid to send these notifications, and as they go through SendGrid, we do things to these emails. We do multiple things to these emails to increase the email deliverability. So again, if you don't do anything to these emails, if you try to deliver them yourself, if you're trying to set up your own infrastructure, on average, 20% of these emails are going to go missing. Of course, these emails have different ROI for different companies. For a company like eBay, they made a study and found that if they don't deliver 1% of their yearly email, they lose $14 million. So again,
yearly. Yearly. So 1% of their email doesn't get delivered, they lose $14 million a year.
Correct.
Okay. And I don't even think of them as an email-based company, and it just goes to show that email is a part of every company.
Yeah, exactly. For example, account confirmations. A lot of sites send email account confirmations, and if they don't confirm their account, they can log in. So imagine losing 20% of your customers because you can't deliver emails.
Not because your product stinks, you're losing 20% of your customers just because your email isn't being delivered. That's the basis of this business. That's what you help companies do. Let me explain to the audience what's coming up here. I'm gonna talk to you about how about why SendGrid, to understand the product, to understand how it helps companies. But I also want to help the audience learn from your experience. You built this business up in 8 months. I want to find out how you did it. You told me before the interview that mentorship was important to you, and I know as a guy who had his company backed by Techstars that you must have gotten a lot of mentors through that program. But I want to find out not just how you get the mentors, but how do you really get the most out of the mentors? I also want to find out about product development. I would think that it would take 8 months of just, you know, looking around to try to figure out what the product is before you can start actually making sales. And here you did it. You did it within a year of launching. You figured out the product and you also have gotten your customers. I also want to find out how you got your customers. And we'll talk about some of the big names that are using you. You're a first-time CEO. That can't be easy. I want to find out about that. And we'll also learn about team building. So we're gonna learn, like always here, we're gonna hear your story, hear a story of a guy who just came out of nowhere and built a phenomenal company that's profitable, that's bringing in lots of big brands behind him. But along the way, I wanna learn as much as possible so I can arm my audience and send them out there to build incredible companies so that they could sit where you are in the not too distant future. Maybe somebody's listening to us right now, and 8 months from now, they'll have an incredible company and I'll get to interview them, I hope. That's my goal here, is more than hope. Okay, so let's just continue to understand the product here, because there were questions in the chat room about how you're different from iContact, whose founder came here at Mixergy. Can you explain that? iContact is a service that I might use if I wanted to contact the Mixergy audience to tell them about the interviews that I did from week to week. How are you guys different?
Right, so just some background on email marketing in general. There are a lot of companies doing email marketing, big players, Constant Contact, Vertical Response, ExactTarget, and there are really big players on email marketing. With SendGrid, you can't really generate the content of these emails. So for example, these email marketing companies provide you with tools to generate content, like really nice looking emails and things like that. And once you have your email composed, you can go ahead and send it. And it's usually the same email broadcasted to a huge list, right? At SendGrid, we don't have the tools to generate this great looking emails. We just focus on the actual infrastructure of email delivery. So for example, we have email marketing companies having the tools to generate this content, and they use SendGrid as a backend to deliver their emails and increase their email deliverability, provide stats and stuff like that. So we focus a lot on email in general, not only email marketing. So we handle all the infrastructure scalability, deliverability, and analytics. If, for example, let's take Hootsuite as an example. If Hootsuite wanted to send their email notifications, they would have to do convoluted APIs and stuff like that to use these companies like iContact, Vertical Response, and stuff like that, because again, they were designed to do email marketing. If they wanted to send their email through SendGrid, they just need to change three settings, no coding at all, three SMTP settings, and they're done. So we actually are replaced all their email infrastructure. And again, we work with email marketing companies too. So some email marketing companies just completely have outsourced all their infrastructure to SendGrid.
Okay. All right. I think that explains it. If you guys have any questions in the audience, let me know. All right. I looked at LinkedIn and I saw that you started a couple of companies before this. Can you talk a little bit about the path to this company? Let's start with, how about ThemBid? The founder of ThemBid, Elmer, is the one who introduced us. How'd you get started with ThemBid and what happened there?
So ThemBid has been, Elmer has been a long, long time friend. I know him since school. So he's an awesome person, really smart. we have this idea of have you used Elance or things like that? It was the same concept, but at a local level. So you would post your needs for a specific service, a plumber, an IT person, and local businesses would bid for your business. And based on the price and rating of businesses, you would just choose whoever. Instead of calling the yellow pages, you would just do that.
Yeah, with Elance, what the reference to Elance is, with Elance, if I wanted somebody to redesign my website or to program some web app for me, I go in there, I say, this is the job that I need, have people bid on that project. I look at their bids and I look at their past reputation and I pick somebody and I hire them. You want to do the same thing and go beyond those kinds of services. So if I need a plumber, I'd be able to say, I need a plumber, this is the job, bid on it, and I get to pick the person I want. That was the idea for the business. How did it go?
So the technology worked great. We couldn't scale it. The marketing we just didn't have a good plan. Marketing it was just it was going to take us too much money to do, so we decided to not to pursue that. I still think it's a cool idea, but
I think it's a great idea, but I can see the issue with it that you need to get, it's a marketplace, so you need to get both sides in that marketplace and you need to get them in bulk and at the same time. You want to make sure you have
yes.
enough plumbers that are there and you want to make sure that you also have enough people who are looking for plumbers, and that's just one category.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And that was we didn't know where to concentrate, either on the businesses or consumers or both. And we decided that we needed to concentrate on both, as you mentioned, and that was even more challenging. So
That is a challenge. I think it's a great idea, though, for a business. I'd love to have this marketplace for myself.
So I was the CTO there, and I learned a lot. I also dealt with email deliverability there, and so I have over 10 years of experience dealing with email servers and Dembit and the following company, notpaul.com. I experienced the same problems, and after that, that's when I decided to just solve them for good. And after working in a solution for over 3 months, I still couldn't solve it. So that made it more interesting. And called our co-founders, and then we started developing a cool solution. So.
Okay, NotPaul is the second company that you launched, the second major company. I'm sure that, actually, did you launch others before this? Are you an entrepreneurial person who built businesses ever since you was a kid?
I was more no, not really, not since I was a kid. In fact, I got into being an entrepreneur after Elmer introduced me to gave me a reference to a book called Rich Dad Poor Dad, and then it completely changed my mind. And
Rich Dad, Poor Dad, that book is what got you to be an entrepreneur and turned your mind around about business?
yep.
Wow. All right, I guess I could see that, and I could also see Elmer. Elmer's a very inspiring person. I could see him bringing the best and the business person out of you. Okay, so NotPaul is a company you mentioned. The idea behind NotPaul is I looked at the website. Here's what I understood. I love Motley Crue. Laugh at me all you want, but I love Motley Crue. Say they're not coming here to Buenos Aires where I happen to be this summer, but I want them to be here. What I would do is go to notpaul.com and say, I would pay 150 bucks for a ticket to see Motley Crue. If enough people do that Motley Crue sees that there's actual cash in coming here, they might come. If there aren't enough people or Motley Crue decides to be a pain in the butt and not come down here, then we get all our money back. That's essentially the idea behind NotPaul, right?
Correct.
Why didn't that idea work? What happened? I like that idea too.
Marketing. It was our. I was working with the VP of Business Development at Byte.com, Owen Matthews. Awesome person. He was a CEO. I'm thinking not enough resources for marketing. So, again, I learned a lot from that company also. I was the CTO there. So I've been always the geeky type. After that, then I start SendGrid. So
Okay.
SE.
What did you learn? What are some of the things that you learned there?
It's important to validate your market before you do anything. So before I decided to turn this into Singer into a business, I called Tim Jenkins, our co-founder, and Jose
Co-founder of
Lopez.
SendGrid.
Correct. Tim Jenkins is our CTO, and Jose Lopez is in charge of web development. When I called, these guys already had a pretty big customer, Sinan, which is our Nelson person. He's from Turkey, and he's our official partner there. I had already verified that there was a big need, and it was extremely challenging to solve email deliverability. It's not
How
as
did you
simple as
know that it was a big need and it wasn't just a big need for you? You're a guy running two bootstrapped operations before this. You're running them virtually on your own without help of some of the top mentors that you have today. Maybe it's not a real need outside of your limited experience. How did you know that it was a bigger need than yours?
I went to a forum and started asking questions.
Online forum, those chat boards? Which one?
So I went to a couple. I searched for email deliverability and found different forums. In fact, it's funny, that's how I got into Techstars. The founder from Igniter posted a blog post on how to solve email deliverability, or at least best practices. And I'm like, oh, this is a company from Techstars. And I started looking into Techstars, decided and found that it was an awesome team. They had a lot of email experience. In fact, ReturnPath, probably the best email deliverability company in the world. Their CEO and president are our advisors. So we decided that Techstars, it was going to be great for us. But just to answer your question, there were a lot of different forums. Pretty much every hosting company out there has a forum, and a lot of their customers have these problems. And that's how I met Sinan, our first big customer. And I talked to Sinan and asked him if he was willing to try our beta. Our beta didn't go too well, and
Actually, let's
he
hold
just
off right there.
okay.
Let me see if I can understand a couple of things here. Before we get into SendGrid, the reason that I asked you about Thembid and not Paul and your experience before is because the story that gets a lot of attention with you and in this industry as a whole is guy comes out of nowhere, 8 months later, has an insanely profitable business, everybody loves him, has customers up the wazoo. That's the way to build a business. And if you don't have that, or if you haven't built it the first time out in your early 20s or as a teenager in high school on the side, then there's a sense that, well, what's wrong with me? If these guys can do it, they're making all these headlines of building businesses in under a year that are incredible, what's wrong with me? So I wanted to just build up and show, look, there's a history before this. The second thing I want to understand is you're working hard at both these companies. You cannot work with Elmer without bringing everything that you've got. And you're working with Elmer, you're working with great people at Not Paul, you're spending a lot of time on development, and it's still not really catching fire. How do you feel at that point about yourself as an entrepreneur, about startups in general, honestly and candidly?
Sometimes, and I'm going to speak from my position on as CTO on those two companies. Sometimes it's really disappointing that you built this really cool technology, and you realize that you're going to need a lot of money to make it available to customers, or find creative ways. So at one point, you start thinking about a lot of creative ways to market your business, and if it doesn't work out, it's really I guess you feel disappointed. But then there's a lot of stuff to learn. So for example, when we were working at Thembid, Elmer got really good at social media marketing. So blog post in front of on the front page of Vig multiple times. So that was five times, and we got 100,000 unique visitors in a day. Only like 10 would convert and things like that. So it was a huge challenge, and we found a lot of things that we thought were gonna make a difference, but they didn't. So so yeah, it's not necessarily good when that happens, but I guess if you look at it in the positive side, you learn a lot. So for example, I know to not necessarily focus on a lot of writing blog posts that get in the front page of Dig for X reason, right? So I think it has to be more, you have to have a strategy behind it instead of just driving traffic in general. Things like that I've learned a lot from Dembit and not Paul. So
can you talk about the moment of biggest doubt that you had before you launched this company, before you launched SendGrid?
Yeah, so sales. That was I've been always a geek, and so I never talked to anyone before, just their my boss or my co-founders, and I was always coding all day. I didn't get to interact with a lot of people. So when I was starting Techstars, I was thinking about maybe even bringing a CEO, because usually the CEO has to be the best salesperson in your company. So I thought that was going to be difficult for me. But you get over it, and I'm a pretty good salesperson now. So
how did you become a good salesperson?
By doing it. I think doing public speaking, I don't know, I got extremely nervous. I still get nervous, but not as much. My first presentation, and it was during Investor Day at Techstars. Oh my God, I was so nervous. But after you start doing it, I think you realize that you're the best person to explain to your customers how valuable your service is. And I'm really passionate about telling our customers everything that we do. And I'm really proud of the technology that the team has built. So so to answer your question directly, it was mainly public speaking and sales. That was my biggest fear.
Okay. All right. So now let's continue on with the story. You are noticing problems with email deliverability at Dembit, noticing similar problems at NotPaul. You decide that you want to look around to see if there's a solution. You go to forums, you realize, no, other people have this problem too. At what point did you think you had the solution for this?
August
2009. August 2009, LinkedIn says that January 2009 you incorporated.
Actually, we incorporate. That's when we started working on SendGrid. But we actually incorporated in July and launched in August.
Okay. So January 09, you started working on SendGrid, looking for the solution, but you didn't have the deliverability solution.
Right. So okay. I came up with something that I thought was a solution. So I just put a bunch of servers together, kind of like a cloud-based email service. Sinan, which is one of our, I was mentioning him earlier, he's in fact, even after a year, he's still with us, and, awesome person. So I talked to him, and I told him, okay, I'm going to offer everything for free. You just pay for, server costs, and I'm going to be working for you, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to make sure we solve it. And he was willing to help us with that. And this is with something like 30,000 emails a day. So it was a huge volume for just a new service. And that didn't go too well. we learned a lot. And it took us fair amount of of time to develop an algorithm. In fact, we still tweak our algorithm even now. There are many things that we learn, and we set up our algorithm to learn from different emails and see how they behave with different filters and stuff like that. So even up to now, there are weird things that we find. For example, one of our partners, it's Heroku. I don't know if you know the guys from Heroku, a hosting company for Rails applications. We found that if the word Heroku was in an email that was sent to Yahoo, it would trigger spam filters. So weird things like that, right? So we have to contact Yahoo and tell them, hey, the word Heroku, which is one of our partners, is triggering spam filters. So they updated the rules and
Why?
stuff
Why
like
would
that.
the word Heroku trigger a spam filter in Yahoo? You don't know.
We don't know. We just know that it does
Okay,
through
and
our.
that is that really essentially the trouble with email deliverability? That there are all these different blacklists that everyone keeps that are separate. Everyone's watching for maybe Heroku was in an old Viagra ad 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and now suddenly it's catching up with this company.
Exactly. There are many things on email deliverability. So, for example, first is spam filters solve a huge problem, but they also introduce a new one, which is deliverability. So they filter legitimate emails. They filter out spam pretty good, but they also filter out legitimate emails. And there are many filters that we have Postini, we have CloudMark, Spam Assassin. There are a lot. So we actually, as emails go through SendGrid, we actually scan with all these filters to determine if someone has deliverability problems with these filters that are mainly used in enterprises. But we also things like Hotmail, ISPs like Hotmail, Gmail, AOL, they have their own filters. So we have to also consider those and see when they trigger problems. And so we have the filters, we have now technologies that these ISPs expect, like signatures on headers to verify that you're allowed to send for the domain you claim you're sending from. There are many technical issues, and less than 5 minutes, companies don't have to worry about that and just use SendGrid to solve all those issues. The only issue is that they also keep changing, so we make sure we keep them updated and learn from the. We sent over 1 billion emails, and for every email that we send, we actually learn how to best optimize email deliverability.
So what was that first solution that you thought you had back in the early part of 09?
It was just a cloud-based service of email servers. And it was open source email servers. There were PostFix servers, had a bunch of PostFix servers to scale email delivery. So the technology behind sending email, it's pretty easy, right? So you just need the protocol is SMTP, and you can put a bunch of servers in a cloud and deliver emails. But if you don't have an algorithm how to deliver emails, then it's going to be a nightmare. So that's initially what I did. I set up in this cloud service all the technology behind it, like the signatures I talk about. They're called DKIM, domain keys, SPF records. I thought that was enough, and I was extremely wrong. Luckily, we have the advantage of having this volume of emails that. It was 30,000 when we started, so we learned a lot from all this volume.
I see. What was the name of the company that Xenon worked for?
Sinan has his own company, so he's
Can you spell the name?
Sinan,
Okay.
and his company is called Inbox Bulletin.
Inbox Bulletin.
And he's in Turkey, so
All right, so you got this guy to basically fund your experiments and fund the early part of your business by having him pay for your servers, and he in return got someone who was just gonna nonstop think about this one big headache of his, and he can focus on the rest of his business, like how to grow the mailing list subscribers at Inbox Bulletin. Okay, so you keep going. Do you eventually make headway before you, how much progress do you make before you go to Techstars, the seed funding company?
I had about something like 50,000. I was sending about 50,000 emails a day from different customers.
Okay.
Not so many, I think around five. Yeah, so I was doing that. Yeah, we just learned. We started getting customers, and
So you
we can
just kept
talk.
improving deliverability, even if you didn't get 100% in, you at least were getting more than they were getting on their own.
Yeah, and we weren't charging for that because we knew there were still a lot of learning to do. Around June, we already had a pretty good solution. We also took advantage of advice from ReturnPath. Awesome guys, by the way. So that helped us improve our deliverability by a lot. So.
Okay, so you're doing this work for free. Essentially, these guys are just paying for the servers. You're learning, 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 improving, improving, improving. You've got customers now, or people who are ready to become your customers once you're starting to sell. Why do you go to Techstars? Why not continue this on your own? Why do you need their money? Why do you need their mentorship? You're on the right track.
Right. So, as far as money, we raised around on December 750K that
December
we
of
had,
what year?
2009. So after Techstars,
Okay.
and I'm gonna go forward just to explain the money part.
Okay.
We didn't need money, so January we were already profitable. We raised another round. About a month ago for 5 million that we didn't need. But it's about the team, the mentors, the people to give you feedback. So Foundry, I work with Ryan McIntyre and Brad Feld a lot. Amazing people, extremely smart. Now as investors, they have a vested interest in our company. So we were so happy that Foundry came in. On December, we brought in a bunch of cool people. So Highway 12, our lead investor, Dave Cohen, which is a founder of Techstars. We brought in Dave McClure, awesome guy, Jeff Clavier,
David
and
Cohen, the founder of Techstars, investor too. Okay, so you're saying that by going into Techstars, you had an entry into the venture funding world, that they were able to introduce you to the people who ended up funding you.
So we didn't go to Techstars because of funding. We went to Techstars because of the mentorship. We knew as first-time CEO, I learned that advice, it's really advice and connections. It's really a key. Connections are easy to get. Advice, it's really hard to get. I think in Techstars, they told us if you want to ask for money, ask for advice or something like that. So I strongly agree. I think the advice these guys provide is just invaluable to run a business. So
All right, so let's talk about how you do that. You mentioned Brad Feld. He's a super busy guy. He's got to keep looking for his next investment. He already has multiple investments that he needs to help out. He did an interview here. He's got lots going on in his life. Talking about Dave McClure, he's not even in your city. He is out now. I don't even know what part of the world he's in, but he's doing the geeks on a plane. He's flying investors and entrepreneurs all over the freaking world. Matt Mullenweg's an investor of yours, right? He's got to deal with WordPress. I got a virus in my WordPress last week. I'm sure he's got that headache to deal with, in addition to, I mean, my personal virus, in addition to everybody else's viruses and launching the new version of WordPress. Bottom line, these are very busy people, and they're actually giving you advice. How do you do it? How do you get information and make it useful?
Yeah, so you have to be really to the point. So you have to tell them, I need X, Y, and Z. And they do take the time, and it could be over email, phone,
Give me an
whatever.
example. Let's put some flesh on this.
I need an intro to a company. Then if someone knows them, they give me an intro. If I go to the Bay Area a lot, so if I need a if Dave McClure is around, I ask him for advice. We at least take an hour to meet. Same thing with Jeff Clavier. In fact,
What
I
kind
mean
of
Jeff.
a
Advice as far what kind of advice as
Yeah,
far
give me a specific piece of advice that helped your business that you got from Dave McClure.
hiring hiring has been our biggest bottleneck because we're trying to put together an awesome team, right? So our team is pretty much the main reason why we're here. We have a great team.
So
And
how did he
then
do it? What did you go to him with, to Dave McClure with? What, how did you present the issue to him, and how did he help you out?
so I told him about our bottleneck, and he made an intro to the guy. He didn't actually say, okay, here's what you're supposed to do. He just put me in touch with the best person he knew, and this guy, it was the company JobScore, the co-founder there, and got awesome advice from Dan. So that's pretty much what they do. It's simple solutions that take less than 5 minutes to do. So that's why you have to be really specific on the things that you ask them for.
I see. All right, Dave McClure does seem to know everybody, and while he's on a jet, he could make an introduction for you. So you went to him with what specific hiring situation?
Pretty much everything, right? So we were five people up to, I think, February. Now we're at 15, so we just hired 10 people in the last few months. Just pretty much general advice on how to get better candidates when you would advertise for a position. And we found that there's a huge theory behind it. It's pretty much like an ad. You're trying to sell your company to awesome people, and learned a lot from that. So this is just one specific thing. There are many things I have asked. We also have a board meeting every month, so that I can get advice from so I can get advice, sorry about that, from our investors. And it's funny, our investors are also my mentors, and they sit on the board. So that's Ryan McIntyre, Mark Sullivan, and David Cohen. So awesome people to get advice from.
All right, who did Dave McClure introduce you to? What was the name of the company?
JobScore.com.
JobScore. Okay, how about one more example? How about David Cohen? What specific issue did you take to him, and what specific advice or mentorship did he give you in return?
Pricing. That's so David Cohen I talk to a lot. He's really cool person. He's helped me since before he was an investor in our company through Techstars. Then he became an investor in our company. He sits on our board, so talk to David a lot. So one specific example that comes to mind is pricing. So when we were at Techstars, we didn't know how to price our service, and we did. He just guided us on how to do research and how to do different things on how to find what's best price and
How
so forth.
do you research a price on something like this?
So we, and instead of starting with like, would you, asking customers, would you pay $200,000 for this service? We started really low. Would you pay $10? We kept increasing it until we find some resistance, but not too much resistance. After we found a threshold, we compared that with our margins and see if it made sense. And that's really important. Make sure you actually just look at your margins, because if you find good pricing, but it's not going to give you any profits, or it's not going to let you grow and improve on your technology, that's really important. So
When
we kept.
you're testing out these prices, are you just having conversations with potential customers and saying, "Would you pay $10? Would you pay 20?"
We had the advantage that a lot of the sales were successful, so like over 90% would just sign up anyways because there was a huge need. So initially they started for really cheap, and then we kept increasing until it made sense. Initially, the first customers we ended up losing money because we just wanted a test, right? But that's part of the I guess price for testing.
But were you going to the same customer and sitting down with them and saying maybe Hootsuite and saying, Hootsuite, would you pay $10? Would you pay 20? No. You were going to different customers. You'd say, hey, would you pay $10? Go, yeah, sure, of course. Then when Hootsuite comes around, you go, would you pay $50? He doesn't know that the last person got $10. He doesn't need to know it. You say, would you pay 50? He says, yeah, I would pay $50. Great. And then you keep going. That's what David told you to do. He said, just go out there and toss prices out of people and see what sticks.
He did he asked he advised us to do landing pages too,
Ah, okay.
marketing and stuff like that. We didn't get to do that. We were lucky enough to have a lot of leads that turned into customers.
Right, let's transition now into customers. How did you get all these leads?
Introductions and just kicking ass on the intro. So, for example, Dave McClure started with he made an intro with the two Hidden Shaw. You interviewed Hidden Shaw from Kiss Metrics. Awesome, super smart person. At that point, he didn't have a need, but he said, "Oh, my friend Jared from WeGame.com has a need." WeGame is a social network for gamers. Really cool site. We start working with Jared and had this viral campaign and ended up being really successful. Our algorithm worked great. Millions and millions of emails a day were delivered. So that was an awesome use case or case study for
How do
us.
you kick ass with him? I interviewed him too, by the way. These are great people. How do you kick ass for him? Keaton introduces you. You've got to say before you deliver, you got to kick ass. You got to say, I can do what? How do you sell him?
Well, first I sold the technology, right? So I said, we do have algorithms on the back end. We take care of all the scalability. We take care of all the technical issues that you're going to have to do anyways. It's a lot. It's really time consuming to do this. So I was going to save a lot of time from his plate. Again, it just happened to be really easy to integrate. So if it didn't like it would just take him less than 5 minutes to go back to his existing solution. So that made it the sale that made the sale much easier, right? So it's just you don't lose much by trying it. He ended up trying it for millions and millions of emails, and it was really successful. And after that, buzz started happening. So it just happened that Jared, it's well connected. Hidden Shaw, it's really well connected. And I think buzz started there. We haven't done any marketing at all. I guess we can consider this video marketing. We've just been focusing a lot on the product and kicking ass on the technology. We just brought in our VP of sales, and we're bringing a VP of marketing to start scaling sales and marketing because we just focus on the product.
Can I suggest this? There's a club. Heaton Shaw is in the club. Who else? Dave McClure is in the club. There's a club of people who all talk to each other, who are all at the top of this internet business. And if you could connect with one node, with one person in the club, they'll introduce you to other people, and you'll at least get a shot at selling your product to them.
If you kick ass.
If you kick ass. But if you're just a guy, if you were out on your own, if it was just you and Elmer, it would be harder, I imagine. It would be harder to get in. It would be harder to get feedback if they turned you down. Is that true?
Well, initially I got some we were a startup, right? So for big companies like WeGame with high volumes, it's really tough to trust small startups. So I did a lot of customer development. So I went to San Francisco and met Jared. personally went to lunch and stuff like that. So we put a lot of effort into our first customers. So because we kicked ass, the bus started, not because of not necessarily the connections, right? Also, it happened that the need was pretty big. So email deliverability, again, is a huge problem that we're solving. So companies were willing to try our solution again because email is extremely critical, and because there isn't a good solution out there besides SendGrid.
Okay. How did people know that this was an issue? How did they know that they weren't getting the deliverability that they wanted? Because once you send the email out there, it's just out there.
A lot of companies don't know. That's a great point. We had to tell them that on average that was the case. We were going to set up a test so that everyone can test their deliverability. We haven't had the need to do that because of all the inbound sales that we have. But we're planning on setting up something like that so you can test your deliverability. But after we told them that and then they tried it and they saw their open rates go up, then they actually believe and trust in what you say. And again, that's part of all the buzz that gets generated. So yeah, you have to be good with your stats, make sure you know how to sell and do a lot of I guess research on the value that you bring to a company. And once they're willing to try it, just kick ass.
Let me read a quick exchange here that's going on in the chat room. Jordy is saying, "How did you settle on a name?" Tim Jenkins, your co-founder, says, "Well, we started as SMTP API, and the rest of the Techstars teams mocked us nonstop until we found something else."
Yeah, that's true. Again, been always a geek. We have an API on top of SMTP, so when you send the emails in the header, you can actually use a complete API to do crazy things on top of email. So we developed this huge platform on top of email. Because we have an API on top of SMTP, then the first thing to look for is SMTP API. Of course, that domain was available, so ended up selecting that name. And when we went to Techstars, that's, I guess, the most notable change, the name. So
Okay.
it was some people are pronouncing SMT Poppy or something like that.
All right, so we talked about mentorship and we see also about how peer pressure could be helpful. We talked a lot about product development, but I want to talk just a little bit more about it. It is very easy to just type in your SMTP information into my email program and use you guys for a little bit, and then type in my old stuff, my old data, and move away from you. Is that the way you always started, that easy?
We started over using a web API. So we asked, we didn't ask users because we didn't have users, but the initial, I guess, solution was to make it over a web API. That was too easy, and it was too easy to do for the developer, but really complicated for the customer. So we decided to do the hard way and make it extremely easy to integrate, make it difficult on our end and make it easy on the consumer end. So
So at first, your customers needed a developer in order to interact with your system.
no, we actually didn't release that. So you can still send the email over web, but we just decided to go with the easiest way to begin
Ah,
with.
I see. When you launched, when you were actively looking for customers, you went with the easiest.
Easiest for the customer, harder for us, because it was easier for the customer to try it and not to commit to our service.
So how did the product develop and change over time? It seems like essentially what you're doing now is just a tighter version of what you originally thought of. More, you're watching out for more things that would trip email on its way towards its destination, but essentially you're still
We
doing the same thing.
We have a huge algorithm, and the algorithm again keeps changing. The algorithm to deliver email to Yahoo is different than delivering it to Hotmail, Gmail, and things like that. So think of it as Google search algorithm, right? It keeps changing because of new things. The same thing with their algorithm to deliver email. We're focusing a lot on statistics, click-through rates, open rates. You're going to be able to see if a specific person opened your email, clicked on it, real-time logs. You're going to
How'd
be
you
able
know
to
to add all these features in there? You didn't launch with that, right?
No,
So
no.
how'd you decide which features? People are going to ask for the moon. How'd you know what to give them?
Yeah, so everyone in our customer does support, everyone, even developers. We have live chat. We use Snapabug for that. Everyone, if you try to get support, you'll talk to a developer that's actually gonna get you an answer. So customer support has been extremely important for us. So once we have hundreds or thousands of competitors, I think, so if someone could replicate our technology, someone would steal our technology, I think we would still have better customer support than anyone else. So we focus a lot on that.
All right,
The
but
reason.
customer support is going to give you lots of different requests. One person's going to want one thing, the next person's going to ask for something completely different. How do you pick from all that?
Well, we try to see what customers are asking for the most. So, for example, initially we had issues with setting up DNS settings. We wrote a wizard for that from input from different developers, right? Because actual developers see what's needed. We just try to look for custom, I mean, for general requests that customers are requesting the most, and try to let our users prioritize what they need instead of us.
How do you do that?
We don't have a system. We have meetings every other day, so Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and we talked about everything, technology support, sales. So everyone, we have a pretty flat organization, so everyone knows about everything. In fact, we Skype a lot, and when someone talks to someone else, they don't send direct messages. Everything has to be on a chat room, so everyone sees what's going on. So because every and I think we have the advantage of being a small team, and 15 is it's pretty relatively small, but we were five again like 3 months ago. That helps us see what's up like everywhere, and based on that, it helps us prioritize what to do next. But we don't have an actual system to keep track of all this.
Okay. Let's see what else I've got here on the list. Customers. I want to know a little bit more about how you got these big customers. Can you throw out some of the customer names that you have out there?
We have, so I'm going to use something for site. So SlideShare, PlantCast, Foursquare, Hootsuite, GetSatisfaction. We didn't actually target those. They found us somehow, or through word of mouth. It's funny when someone like SlideShare or GetSatisfaction signs up. You're like, oh, cool. I've heard SlideShare
They
and
just went on
GetSatisfaction.
the web and they signed up. Get out. Wow, I was wondering how that happened. Okay, so the website is bringing people in because you're solving a major pain point. In the early days, you were out in forums bringing in customers. Were any of those early users paying customers, or were they just freebies while you learned?
Everyone was paying customer,
So
even
everyone,
early.
from the beginning, you went into forums hunting for people who had this issue, offering to solve the issue. And even though you weren't a salesperson, you were giving them a price.
I think it's easier when you send a message or email because you don't have to project any emotion when you're selling and get really excited about your product. I think it gives you time to think about what you're going to write. As a salesperson, then you have to be really reactive and show a lot of emotion when you're selling and stuff like that. But initially, through emails or messages, you don't have to do that. So it was easier for me.
How much in business do you think you did with customers that you found on forums and were just chatting this way with?
As far as revenue,
Yeah, give or take.
the so before the summer, I don't know, 2 to 5K a month. That's how much we need it for servers. And after that, then it started. So about, let's see, 2 to 5. So about 10 to 20K before we launched. Then
A
after we
total of
launched,
$10,000 to $20,000 came in. Roughly $2,000 to $5,000 a month is how much you brought in from business that you personally got from forums and other online channels, conversations online. It's okay if it's off. I'm not looking for an exact number here. Under 100,000, but more than 10,000, we can say. Just gives us a sense of what the business was. Enough to be profitable, to pay for your servers and have a little bit after.
No, we didn't actually have a little bit out there. I think the first profit we made from servers, I think we paid our co-founder Jose the first $2,000 is around August or something like that.
So
So
basically enough to just break even, can we say that?
no, because Tim Jenkins and myself weren't getting paid. We started getting paid till December.
Okay.
Jose was the first one that started paying. So Jose's another co-founder. He started getting paid from August to November, and everyone started getting paid on December. So.
Okay. All right, so then you get into Techstars. They tell you to change your name. They make introductions. They give you mentors. They give you introductions to customers. And customers started coming from those introductions. And then it was on you to close those sales, not to go hunt for them cold.
Correct.
When you were in the forums, I see there are a lot of people in the forums. You don't know who the person is at the other end. Why do people trust you? Did you have a reputation in the forums? Did you have a voice already?
Nope. I just got an account and sent them a message. I guess that's how big the problem was. Some of them realized that there was a problem, some of them didn't. But after you give them these stats, I guess customers are more aware of the issue, and if they see their open rates going up, then they start trusting you. Some of them don't even know their open rates or click-through rates and stuff like that. So that's another value that we bring. We actually give them better insight of what happens after their emails have been delivered.
Okay, looking here at the list of promises that I made the audience before we started. I said mentorship, we talked about that. I said product development, we talked about that. I also said some of the issues that you'd have as a first-time CEO. How do you even learn to be a CEO of such a fast-moving company? Who's
I
helping you?
guess it's really tough, but if you have mentors around you, I think I rely a lot on my board. If I need a, if I have some questions, I just go to them. We're looking into hiring a COO to provide guidance on the things that we haven't run into. But I think I also learned a lot from our team. I think because we have a flat company, we don't have too many levels of managers and things like that. We take decisions as a group, so they provide a lot of feedback on what are the best decisions. So Tim Jenkins provided different feedback on hiring, benefits, things like that that you're supposed to do as a company. And not everyone in our team that is technical only provides technical advice. They also provide, sometimes we take decisions as a group together for random things. A lot of that has to do with culture and
What
stuff
was the
like that.
biggest issue you had as a CEO so far?
Getting an office and getting benefits for our employees.
Really? Figuring out what the right office is? What's the challenge with the right office?
Size, projecting how big your team's going to be. To be able to do that, you have to project sales. things like that, right? And then how big your lease is going to be, how much you're going to pay for rent, what's the best location, what's best for your employees, and things like that. So,
what about about figuring out who to take money from? Was that an issue? How much of an issue?
So we had a lot of options. We just decided to go with the guys that we liked the most, and we did a lot of research on who they were. So Foundry, we weren't raising money, and they made an offer, and Foundry is an awesome team. Everyone in Foundry has been extremely helpful even before the investment. So it was almost a no-brainer for us. So just make it official, I guess.
Okay. What kind of people, last thing on my list here is team. What kind of people do you look for?
So I look for a lot of technical guys back in with a high scalability skills, web development. We are ramping up our sales and marketing team. So we're looking also for a COO. So we're actually going to start turning this into a real company, I guess. now that you mentioned team, I would love to just give credit to everyone in our team. Tim Jenkins, kicking ass. Jose Lopez, Tim Falls, Kim, Joe Scharf, Kyle.
You got 15 people. We can't go through the whole list. And then if you leave people out?
Eric Becken and Elmer Thomas.
All right. Oh, Elmer Thomas is at the company too?
Yeah, he just joined, so.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Congratulations to you and to Elmer. What else do I want to find out about? Why take money if you're profitable?
Because of the team. The investor team that you're bringing. Connections, advice.
But you raised millions of dollars. You don't need millions of dollars to get advice. You just need another round from angels to get advice. Why the millions?
It allows us to take higher bets on things. So experiment with things that we wouldn't take chances on if we didn't have money.
Like
so,
what?
Hiring a little bit faster than what you need, so that you can be ahead of the curve and be have awesome technology. Maybe buying ads in specific strategic places that you don't know if the ROI is going to be good. Things like that, right? So allows us to not necessarily worry too much about budget when we want to take specific bets. Also, we don't have to worry about raising money a year from now if we decide to scale the business like super fast. In fact, we're also growing pretty fast. We have partnerships in Turkey, Japan, and different. We're looking into expanding in different countries. So we're looking for hosting companies in different countries to partner with. And this, of course, requires capital. So I guess it gives us the cushion of just taking higher bets. I mean, higher risk bets to do things that, again, that we wouldn't do if we didn't have that much money.
All right. How about this to end with? Someone else might be in your shoes or the shoes you were in when you were launching this business. A couple of companies that didn't set the world on fire, gave you experience, but didn't give you profits. They might be in that same situation. What advice do you give to them?
I guess I'm going to be a little bit biased to technical people. Get mentors. Your customer's always right. Always listen to them. And I guess worry about your product a lot and be proud of what you build. And make sure it actually solves problems that your customers have and not necessarily are features that your customers are not going to use. At least this is what we did with SendGrid, and we still focus a lot on the product and customer support, and we learn that way. We learn a lot from our customers, and SendGrid is just pretty much what our customers have told us they need.
If I'm on your website, there is a little on the, what is it? A little button on the upper right side that says talk to a live person. If I hit that button, what are the odds that I hit that button and end up having a conversation with you, the founder of the company, or maybe with Tim or Jose?
It should be in the 90%.
90% chance that if I hit that customer service button, I'll talk live to one of the three founders.
Yep.
Okay,
Oh,
all right.
for the three founders
One of the
or
three founders, yeah.
founders. I don't know. So Tim, it depends also on the nature of the request. So we have three guys just focus on answering these requests, and they transfer the ticket to whoever is in charge of that. So if there's a backend problem, you're probably going to talk to Tim. Chances of that, it's yeah, in the 90%. And the same thing if you have a problem with the web related, you're going to have a 90% chance you're going to talk to Jose. But a lot of these questions are related with the service, and Joe, Kyle, or Ken can answer those
I
questions.
see.
So,
So a 90% chance that there's going to be a human being whenever you hit that button. And if it's an issue that only one of the two founders can deal with at this point, it's going to be routed to one of the two founders. All right. Well, thank you. Any last words?
I guess for you, it's congrats. You're doing awesome stuff. It's
Thanks.
you're doing amazing things, not only for you because you learn a lot from this, but for everyone. So I watch all your videos, and I actually learn a lot from them. I know you interview Heenan Shaw and things like that. So really good friends. So thanks for that, and for I guess your viewers. Just kick ass on your products. I think eventually your technology and your products and it speak for itself. I think you interviewed the guys at Balsamiq, and almost similar story where so proud of their product. In fact, we use Balsamiq too, and they focus a lot on their product. They're really proud of what they're building, and I think that's my best advice for everyone. Just kick ass on what you do. They probably already know that, but eventually it pays off.
Right on. Kick ass on what you do. What an inspiring story. Guy just goes, solves a problem with two friends, ends up doing well in so many ways, and I'm so proud to know you. I'm so proud to watch from the sidelines. I see other people feel the exact same way. Merrick in the audience is saying SendGrid rocks, they're awesome. All right, if I continue this way, it's gonna seem like it's disingenuous mutual love here. I'm just gonna say I invited you here for a reason because I admire what you did and I wanted other people to learn from it. And I'm gonna come back to what I said in the beginning. Guys, go out there and do this. Build something incredible, build a great product, kick ass on it, and then let me interview you. Come on here and talk about how you did it. Isaac, thank you for doing it. Thank you for being here doing this interview. Elmer, thank you for making this introduction. Everybody, thank you for watching. I'll see you in the comments, and hopefully you, whoever's out there watching, I'll see you right here doing a Mixergy interview not too far in the
Sounds
future.
good.
Thanks, everyone.
See
Bye.
ya.